This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you ka-ching. Ka-ching. Come on, guys, we talked about this. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. You want to grow big? Shopify. You want to grow small? Shopify. You want to grow medium rare? Also Shopify. Shopify powers 10% of all commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 2.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care.
Hello, welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese film Goodfellas one glorious minute at a time. I am Josh Flanagan, and with me are Ron Richards.
Hello.
And Connor Kilpatrick.
Ciao.
Ciao, Bella. it's our first instance of Italian in this podcast series.
Ron's name doesn't sound it, but he is. He's our Italian friend,
Ricardo.
We'll get to our backgrounds later on in a couple of minutes from now.
All right, so we're on the second minute of Goodfellas. This minute starts with some thunking and Henry's confused face. What is that thunking? It ends with Billy Batts' bloody body.
Bloody Billy Batts.
Bloody Billy Batts' body.
Kicking things off, what struck me, I remember the first time I saw this movie, within 2 minutes, the brutality.
Yes.
That's what I remember the most about this scene.
Well, that stabbing is very visceral.
Yeah.
A little bit of overkill. I mean, he stabs and he gets Billy Batts, they open the trunk,
Whoa, who's Billy Batts? We don't know who that is. There's someone in the trunk.
We're not playing this like we don't know these characters' names.
We don't know what's happened yet. We don't know what's happened.
There's a guy in the trunk, and he's bleeding, and they stab him 7 times and shoot him 4 times.
Seems like overkill.
Overkill. Also, Jimmy, or whoever that guy is.
Who's that guy? De Niro?
De Niro has a shovel.
Yeah.
Like he's going to beat him, but he also has a gun.
Yeah.
You could do that with a trunk in the 70s.
It's an enormous Pontiac, by the way. Enormous.
Yes, yeah. Grand Prix, I believe.
Yeah,
I might be wrong.
Because there's a GP on the back of the
I thought it was a GTO for a while, but
no. Yeah.
Anyway, I think that so Henry's got that confused face, and the next thing you see is that De Niro wakes up, and right away you are given prime De Niro. He has a confused look on his face. He makes one of those classic De Niro faces. He looks left and right. And then the three of them trying to figure out what's going on, they cumulatively have disbelief.
Yep.
Among them. They're all going, like, if it wasn't them, you would accuse those guys of overacting, which sort of plays into the, like, it's a little sensational, but as a cold open, you can totally get away with it, especially in this movie and with those guys.
Yeah, well,
but they totally am it.
Yeah, they totally do. I mean, like, and the three of them, these are the three central characters in the movie. And it's, I find it from, and as we'll get more as the story unveils and we see what happens, picking this moment as the pivotal moment of the subject's lives, I think is genius, because this is the, I feel like this is the moment where things start turning downhill.
Oh, absolutely. This is their downfall right here. Killing Billy Bats. I mean, whatever happened to the guy in the back.
It's the one bad decision.
Now, how do you feel about it being as a cold open? I mean, like, because
it's great.
It's great because you're confused. You don't know what's going on, right?
Plus, you're introduced to the brutality of these characters. These are not good guys.
Yeah.
It's a very modern. Well, it's modern now, and everybody's copied this.
Yeah,
like a lot of pop culture, a lot of TV shows, a lot of movies, a lot of comic books start with this kind of thing. Where like here's the action. Now we're gonna take you back and see how you got there.
Yeah. It's very Sorkin. I love that he's got like a knife holster.
No, it was just in his pocket, wasn't it? Or
something in there, but it's holding that knife.
And I think it's in his pants. I think he just
didn't have a knife holster because it was a borrow.
We don't know this, Josh. Whoa.
I know.
How do you know he doesn't have a knife holster?
I think it was just in the inside pocket of the jacket.
Sure, but it looks like he's got it.
It looks like he's got a holster, yeah.
It's very intimidating.
Yeah.
You don't know how long that knife's going to be when he pulls it out. It could be comically long.
And it's also comically rubber knife, by the way, too. When he's stabbing, you can see it bending.
Hey, it worked for Hitchcock and Psycho. I'm not going to worry about it. I really love, because here you're starting to see, you've started to see, but you get the cinema in this one, you know, where that red taillight glow.
Yeah,
sort of bathes everything in that eerie light as the mist goes around, and you know it's a hot, humid night, and they're like, oh, it's really beautiful, and it sets like a really creepy scene, and they don't talk, they mutter to each other in the car, that thing where they're all just sort of repeating words to each other, but they're not really saying anything. There's a lot of really muffled dialogue, but then everything else is just them looking at each other.
Yeah, and
they look at Henry, you do the thing.
Yeah, so and also I think the red taillight and then merging with the blood, the guy's wrapped in sheets and he's all bloody, and it kind of for a moment it's just a sea of red, which is amazing. So as you mentioned, Henry, this is our protagonist. Is it safe to say the subject of the film? Henry Hill, played by Ray Liotta, and Henry Hill was a mobster who between 1955 and 1980 was active in the New York City mafia, although the mafia doesn't exist. I don't know what they're talking about with that. And what happened was that after getting arrested in 1980, which could be a whole other podcast in and of itself about how he got arrested, he turned informant and started working with the FBI to help them bring down the mob. And after all that happened, he told his story and that this is what it's all based on. As far as Ray Liotta goes, he was cast in this after Scorsese saw him in Something Wild. Do you remember that movie?
Not
Melanie Griffith.
Field of Dreams.
Not Field of Dreams. Yes, where he also played Shula.
Was technically before this.
Yeah, but before Field of Dreams, before Something Wild, he did a bunch of TV. He was in Another World, the soap opera. He was on St. Elsewhere. He was on a show called Casablanca.
Didn't they want Tom Cruise for this role?
Oh, did they?
I read
that Scorsese really wanted Liotta, but Irwin Winkler didn't like him, and Irwin Winkler was hot on Sean Penn. They wanted Sean Penn to be Henry Hill.
I could kind of see that, but also really glad they didn't.
Yeah,
because we're going to get to it a little more, but because there's lots to talk about the character of Henry Hill, the real man of Henry Hill, and what Ray Liotta brings to it. But instantly, when you look at his face compared to everybody else's, and this is more the story of the film, I think, than anything else. Although the point was he wasn't full Italian, so he wasn't the same as the other guys.
Right.
But he just looks different. Like his eyes, he has those eyes with long eyelashes that look kind of sweet, and it really plays off everything that's going on here. And if you watch, you know, he doesn't do any of the stabbing or shooting.
No, correct.
And that's a big thing for Henry Hill. Henry Hill said never killed anybody.
Right.
And that's right away they're showing you that right here. Indirectly, sort of,
and I think it's safe to say that when you look with all the characters, when you look at the real life, who they're based on, and who they are in the movies, the actors are much more handsome, and this is very much a case. If you see a picture of Henry Hill in real life and compare him to Ray Liotta is a much more handsome man in this.
Let's get back.
It works for the movie.
Let's get back to the actual act again, because I think there's a couple of things that the scene says of these characters that is brilliant.
Hang on, though. I got one more note on Ray Liotta's casting. Ray Liotta turned down the role of Harvey Dent in Tim Burton's Batman to play this.
Yes.
So, there you go.
I didn't know that.
You did.
Where it was taken by Billy D. Williams.
Correct.
No one was typecasting there.
So, so in addition to showing you in this pretty much silent scene that these characters are brutal, it also shows you they have tempers because they didn't need to stab him seven times to shoot him four times. They could have just shot him once. But this also shows you how easily these guys will fly off the handle.
Yeah. They didn't want to have to pull over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one bullet to the head might do it, as opposed to seven stab wounds to the chest, and then. Four.
And also, let's be honest: the guy's in their trunk, bloody. They don't ask, "Are you okay? What's wrong?" He just comes out stabbing. So clearly, they're very impulsive. It's just the brutality of it. I mean, like, you think the stabbing would be enough, but no, I got to shoot him four times. So and also, I get the sense that it's very late, but someone's going to hear those gunshots.
Oh. The woods.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're not. They're just on the side of the road, aren't they?
It's upstate. It's
the woods on either side of them.
It depends on how. If they're up by New Rochelle, nobody's hearing that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, fun fact for this minute, at the 1 minute 10 mark, we get the first instance of fuck. And that's going to come back 320 more times in this movie. The word fuck is used 321 times, which is an average of more than two a minute.
Oh, fantastic.
Which I went. Really, that's it? I was talking to my wife about that we were going to do this, and she was not
pleased.
No, she encouraged me to do it. Oddly enough,
you need to get him out of the fucking room.
Yeah, that's the first time we've said fucking. I guess you can't do this as a family friendly podcast, so it doesn't really.
Oh,
matter.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
But she brought up to me that first time that I showed her Goodfellas long ago when we was a courtin'. That this was that stabbing really stuck with her, and
it's a sound on the Foley work on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I tend to be sort of desensitized to it, but as you watch it now, it's pretty visceral, and it really is still pretty disturbing. Because I think if you've seen this movie a billion times, maybe at the beginning I'm gonna go get a drink, I'm gonna settle down. Maybe you missed the very beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I feel like it's the kind of thing you could pop the Blu-ray in or press play on whatever, and these opening couple of minutes. If you've seen it, you've seen it a lot. It's still great. It's still wonderful filmmaking. But this is the kind of thing where it's such a brief, 2 minutes to set the stage, and then we get another minute of, and then we'll be talking soon of more credits. But yeah, so it's a great setup. Great setup.
Anybody have any notes for this minute?
That's all I got.
I'm good.
Okay, great. So that's it for minute two. Tune in tomorrow for minute number three. Until, check us out at Twitter at GoodfellasMin or Instagram at GoodfellasMinute, and you can find all of our episodes at GoodfellasMinute.com. Reminder, if you like comic books, make sure to check out our website about comic books, ifanbar.com, and our weekly podcast there. Thanks for listening. I am Josh.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Ron.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud. Sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it. Find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.